Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And he gives it up, stolen by Kyrie. Good anticipation by Kyrie in the passing lane.
LeBron again. Got again from three. Back to Irving. Going to work again. Inside on the step through. Kevin Love off the pitch. Got again. 53-48 LBJ. Right down Euclid, and he was fouled. Here comes LBJ going at Horford. Got it off the glass. Tough little runner that he made look easy.
And now they know they have a home court advantage. Throughout the playoffs in the East.
The way back in center off the bat of Upton and gone. Wow. McCutchen in center just turned and watched it fly. Upton with home run number one. 1-0 Tigers here in the first.
Well, this is what the fans have been waiting on.
Swinging a line drive down the left field line. It's going to drop for a base hit. Cabrera's being waved around third. Marte's got a very good arm. His throw to the infield, though, is a 2-3 hopper. Cabrera scores easily as the throw is cut off. And the Tigers take a 2-0 lead on J.D. Martinez line drive single down the line.
L.A. party scene is all right, my man. Not really partying, though. I'm just out with some buddies.
That's all good.
It's all good, though. I'm drinking. Staying with the boys, man.
Staying on the right track.
Staying on the track.
Yeah, man. That's what's up.
I'm out at the spots. I'm eating dinner. I'm eating good food. Not doing anything crazy, though. Like I said, man, I'm not always partying. I'm just out having a good time with my boys and not drinking, so.
Yeah, are we partying tonight? Here's my image problem.
I'm just curious. That's what they want to know.
I'm living out here with my guy, Von Miller.
Okay.
Everybody knows Von Miller.
Yeah, he's cool.
Hold on. Super Bowl MVP. Von Miller, my brother. I'm living with him right now.
Yeah?
We're getting our life together. So the Broncos, John Elway, great dude.
Yeah.
Kubiak. Aggie, great organization. Anywhere I get picked up, bro,
okay. It's
a blessing.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Oh, my. Welcome to the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Are you kidding me? I took my kids to the gym last night. Walk into the place about 6:50. They start at 7, or at least my son's weight workout started at 7. And first thing, because people know who I am, a bunch of the other dads and trainers in there. You hear about Gordon? No, I didn't hear about Gordon. What about Gordon? Got another one. You must be talking about somebody else. Are you talking about Gordon Hayward? Are you talking about NBA player Gordon Hayward? No. Are you talking about Gordon, Commissioner Gordon from the Batman movie? No. You can't mean Josh Gordon, and when you say got another one, you can't mean another positive drug test. Yeah, man, the Browns are done. Well, I told them this, and what I'll tell you now, the Browns were already done. Going into the 2016 season, the Browns are already done. They have by far, not close, by far, the 32nd best roster out of 32 teams in the National Football League right now. That's just, no matter what happens, that's the case. They have lost so many in free agency. They have cut so many other pieces. You cannot fill them all in the draft. It is simply going to be an abysmal year. I feel very, very badly for Robert Griffin, who's not going to have Travis Benjamin to throw to. He's not going to have Josh Gordon to throw to. He's not going to be able to stay upright because two of the five offensive linemen that started last year, two of the three best, or four best anyway, if you want to go Thomas, Petonio, Schwartz, and Mack, two of the top four easily of their linemen are gone. He won't be able to stay upright. He's got an unproven second-year back behind him. A defense won't be able to stop anybody because Carlos Dansby is gone. Robertson is gone. Who else? Hayden is hurt, won't be back for the opener. Whitner is gone. Johnson Batamosi is gone. It is already the worst roster in football, and now they take this hit. I'm going to say this as plainly as I can before we bring in Scott Petrak. In fact, I just tweeted it from Sports Radio 106.5. Make sure you check out our Twitter feed there, Sports Radio 106.5. If the Browns still have Josh Gordon's rights by this weekend, they deserve everything that they get. And they deserve to be everything that they are. And I say this as a lifelong fan, somebody who grew up in Northeast Ohio with all of my roots, Indians, Browns, and Cavaliers there. I am telling you this because I said this to you about two or three positive drug tests ago, at least two suspensions ago, that they need to cut him loose in the same way that they finally cut Jonathan Manziel loose. Why? Because even if you get them eligible, you can't count on them being there. Do you want to be Hugh Jackson? Do you want to be putting together an offensive game plan built around Josh Gordon as your deep threat, as your big, most explosive playmaker, a guy who in his full season, his best season, really his only full season, set a franchise record and led the National Football League in receiving yards? In what? How many games did he play, Jim? Was it in 12 games or 13 games or 14 games?
It was 14. 14. Because he still got suspended for two. Yep.
Yeah. Do you want to build around that guy and then suddenly find out in week two, oh, Josh just got another one, and now you have to change the offensive focus because that guy isn't there. You can't count on him. Cut him loose, cut him loose, cut him loose. Joining us now to talk about this ridiculously stupid, repetitive, ongoing story of addiction and wasted talent and a wasted life, Scott Petrak, Cleveland Browns beat writer out in Northeast Ohio. It really doesn't matter where. You don't know. Scotty, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Bobby. How are you?
I don't get it, man. You know, I just don't understand it. And you and I, we could probably play an interview, Scott, that we did last year or maybe the year before about this, because I'm going to say the same thing, and you'll probably respond in somewhat of a similar way. And that is this, that if millions of dollars are not enough of an incentive for you to put the bong down, to break that cycle, if you need help breaking it, get into a rehab center. At least Manziel, for a short while, you know, found the brains to do that. If the prospect of millions of dollars can't make you stop smoking weed, there is nothing that is going to stop that guy from smoking weed. And here we go again. Go ahead.
No, I'm with you, Bob. And, you know, I defended Josh for a while. We've talked so many times. And even before this latest one, I would have been willing to give him another chance because I think his talent is really so immense that he's worth giving as many chances as maybe not as many chances as there are, but I would have given him one more chance with the new coaching staff. But after this latest incident, I'm with you. I think it's time to cut ties with him. Now, I don't know if you need to do it today. You can wait till he ever got reinstated and then do it to make your statement. But I think you have to move on if you're the organization and plan not to ever have him again.
The league says something to the effect of, we need to see 60 to 90 days of clean tests before we'll consider reinstatement. Obviously, that clock started over again with this March test, and we're just finding out about it now, but apparently this happened in March. So it's conceivable that sometime this summer they could say, okay, it's been 60 or it's been 90 and no positive tests or somewhat positive tests with a dilution or whatever you call that, a diluter, trying to limit the amount of marijuana or cannabinoids, I think they're called, that are found in your urine. So conceivably they could let him back in this summer. Do you think if they did and the Browns still held their rights that they would have the guts that Jimmy Haslam and Sashi Brown and the entire front office crew would say, okay, now that we find out Josh is eligible again, we're going to cut him and let somebody else sign him? You think that would happen?
Well, I mean, it'll be another good test for this new regime, Bob. I think whether or not you cut him now or you cut him when he is actually available, it serves the same purpose. You put him out on the waiver wire for another team to sign him. I would say that, like, let's say they wait and he gets reinstated in June or July. Then the Browns could sit down with him because they're not allowed to talk to him. Like, they have a liaison who checks in with them, but Sashi and Hugh can't formally sit down and see where he's at, see where his mind is. I guess it gives you the opportunity to at least hear what he says. in July. And the fact is, then you could try to trade him. If you felt like you didn't want him, maybe you could get a low-round conditional draft pick, because I would guess somebody in the league takes a chance on him. And if you put him on waivers, you know, a team like New England is low on the waiver wire, maybe they'd be willing to give up a sixth or seventh round pick. That's why I wouldn't be in such a hurry to make a definitive move this weekend. However, I would understand if they didn't say, hey, just like we did with Manziel, we're done with him. We're going to be done with Josh. I could see that, but if it were me, I would probably wait and try to get a little more information.
You know what I would be interested in trying to get a little more of is money. I heard Stephen A. Smith say this today, Scott. I don't know what his status is as far as his contract. During suspension, obviously, he forfeits salary, right? So he's not getting paid.
Yeah.
You know what, last year he was supposed to make like $850,000 base, I think, which is next to nothing in what we're talking about. But do you know what his status is as far as signing bonus when they, you know, when whatever contract he's on right now, if there was a signing bonus, that is given to him, but with the expectation that he's going to play and perform. And I heard Stephen A. Smith say today, he's not my favorite guy, but sometimes he makes a really good point. You know, he would like to see teams be able to not just cut these guys, but go after some of that money they gave them up front on the condition that they expected they would play. And if by their own hand, violating league rules like this, they are not able to play, you can go back and take that bonus back. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. You know, and I think teams usually only do that when it's significant money. You know, a Michael Vick kind of situation where there's a ton of money paid up front. You know, according to, I think the signing bonus is around $2.3 million. So if you divide that by the 4 years of the contract, you know, if he misses the whole season, that would be, you know, $550,000, give or take. You know, I mean, the Browns
could try to get
that back.
It sounds worthwhile, though. I mean, it's not a huge amount, like you say, Scott, like the Vic contract was, but it just sounds worthwhile as a deterrent, you know, as a, hey, look. You know, and maybe you have to, I don't know if you have to build this into the next CBA or what, but to the Players Association, look, you know, we're paying these guys money up front and signing bonuses. If they, pardon the pun here with urine tests and everything, but if they pee it all away, man, yeah, and don't play, that's on them. We get the money back now. And whether it's $550,000 or if it's $55 million up front, you got to be able to do that, I think, to send a message to these guys that, look, the rules are not negotiable. You might not like the fact that weed is against the rules in the NFL, and it might be legal in Colorado and in the state of Washington, but it's not by the league. You don't have to like it, but you have to follow it, and if you don't, that's it. We take the money back and you're out.
Right. Well, I do think there are stipulations that if the teams seek to do that, and I'm not positive why they don't try as much. You know, I don't know if they don't want the ill will with the players or with the agents or, you know, and so, I guess some of it, Bob, would be that's how they construct the contract to help their salary cap. So if it's viewed as a signing bonus, it's actually just guaranteed money kind of pushed through the contract. So then you'd have more agents saying, no, we're not calling it a signing bonus. We're calling it guaranteed upfront money or first-year salary money. So I think there's some parts of that that would need to be worked out so both sides are happy with it, the way, you know, contracts are pretty complicated, especially to get around the salary cap. But I know what you're saying. You know, and to me it's just interesting with Josh. Like, I've talked to him a bunch of times, and I do think there's some depth to him, and I always have. And I thought he was a likable guy for many times that I've dealt with him. But, you know, you just get the sense that he's trying to cheat the system, you know, whether it's the dilution in this latest test or, you know, the last time, well, he had the alcohol test that cost him all of 2015, according to him. In 2014, it was a real low marijuana reading, you know, that could have been from hanging around or hotboxing in a car and, yeah, you know, like it just seems like he's trying to work on these fringe instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to abide by the rules for a sustained amount of time and then go back to whatever lifestyle I want. He just can't get himself to do that. I don't know if it's the people he's hanging around with. I'm sure part of it's a lack of discipline. But it's just mind boggling that let's say he went from last February until this March. It's mind boggling that he would sacrifice possibly 2016 NFL season, you know, for let's assume it's one time. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
This is we're talking to Scott Petrak, Cleveland Browns beat writer, who he knows these guys intimately. As you just mentioned, you've talked to Josh outside of just assuming you mean group media sessions, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've just talked to him. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, and I do not mean this as a smart aleck question. Truly, I do not when I ask this. But when you talked to him, do you know for sure you were talking to him sober as opposed to in some sort of state of some sort of altered state where he might have been a little bit toasted, a little bit high or something? Do you know for sure?
I don't, but it's usually after practice. So,
oh, okay, so you got, okay, fair enough.
And 2 hours of practice, then I interview him. Let's assume that he's not high when I'm talking
to him. Gotcha. Because I heard somebody else talk about this today, and you used the word depth a moment ago, Scott. You said there's some depth to him, and you've kind of gathered that from talking to him. And it's funny, I heard somebody else say today that he seems like he's deep at times. And then somebody else said, yeah, guys who are stoned always are deep. when you know what I mean, and you've heard and drunk too, perhaps, but stone more so. If you've ever been around people who are high, that's when all of their deep thoughts just come out, man, and they are just out there, and they're just, you know, I've got this real, this complexity to them that perhaps it isn't there when they're straight and sober. So when you said there's some depth to the guy, I just wondered, have you talked to him in a situation where you didn't know if he was sober? You know?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I guess what I should have said is I get a sense of thoughtfulness. Like, you ask him a question, mm-hmm. or you're talking about a subject, and it's not just a rote answer. I believe, you know, he would sit there and he'd think about the question and give you what seemed to be an honest reply. You don't get that from everybody. You know, and obviously it's easy to compare and contrast him with Johnny Manziel because, you know, it looks like they're living together in California and they're both, you know, have their issues with substances. But, like, when you talk to Johnny, it always seemed fake, or not always, but a lot of times it seemed fake and packaged, and I just never got that with Josh. Sometimes you got some anger with Josh, and you got some frustration, but it seemed genuine compared to Johnny.
Let's talk about him surrounding himself with the right kind of people. You just said it. He's living with Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was caught on camera by TMZ a couple of nights ago, partying, sounded drunk or high or stoned or coked up or all of the above, I don't know, in a complete disheveled state. And he's only too happy. That's how you know he was hammered or inebriated in some way, because if he sees the TMZ guys there coming up to him, he's going to avoid them like the plague. But he's like, hey, what's going on? He just asked, right. I love ball, man, and I'm living with Von Miller, and you know, we're getting our lives together. And I'm thinking, we? Von Miller is about to become the highest paid player on defensive player in football. Von Miller is a Super Bowl champion. He's on Dancing with the Stars. I think that cat's got his act together pretty good. What do you mean, we? And then we find out, of course, he is living not with Von Miller, but with Josh Gordon. If you're Josh Gordon, and you know the Browns have just cut this guy, Johnny Manziel, because of his inability to control his own either substance issues or maybe we should just say issues, wouldn't you move in with your elementary school math teacher? Wouldn't you? And you're trying to get reinstated to the league? Wouldn't you just go and live with somebody who's going to be the least threatening individual at all to your sobriety? Somebody that is absolutely just going to help you live a perfectly clean life so you can get your career back? How are you moving in with Jonathan Manziel if you're Josh Gordon?
Well, Bob, it doesn't make sense for either side. I mean, Johnny's looking to catch on with the team, too, depending on how, you know, the legal situation plays out in Texas. It's a bad look for both guys, and that's why I'm having a hard time.
Who do you think looks worse, too? Who do you think league execs would look at? I mean, for me, I don't know, Scott, it's weird. I kind of feel like with Manziel, they might say, well, at least he's moving in with a guy who's getting clean, because you assume that Josh Gordon is getting clean. You know, it's a guy who's been through the ringer, and, you know, he's getting clean. But Gordon moves in with Manziel, who just got cut for all this stuff. You think, dude, where's your judgment? I don't know. I don't know how executives would look at either one of those.
No, you're right. I think they'd shake their head at both of them.
Yeah.
That's just another player where if I were the Browns, obviously the fail test is the fail test because it will likely cost him time. You know, supposedly he could still be reinstated. I find that a little bit hard to believe because the NFL's drug policy seems to say if you fail another test while you're coming off an indefinite suspension, it's another year. But they have latitude to change it at their own will, I guess. But so the test is bad because it puts his reinstatement in jeopardy. But the fact that he's living with Johnny, if I were the Browns, that would have been, of all the red flags that Josh has had since before he got drafted, that would be near, if not at the top of the list of red flags, because it just shows poor decision making for a guy who needs to show you that he's changed, and that's what Josh hasn't done. And I, you know, if the Browns were more established, if they had a different regime, different coaching staff, different roster, I think you could say, okay, well, we can support Josh Gordon and kind of help him turn his life around once he's inside our building. But with a bunch of rookies all over the place, a new head coach, a roster that's not ready to compete, it just seems like more trouble than he'd be worth. And like you said at the start of this, Bob, I think it's time for the team to say, we're done with him. Maybe not this second, but before he ever plays for the Browns again.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other question about him, Scott, at this particular point, is at what point have you been away from the game for so long that you can't play the game at the level you were at? Now, I know he's only 25, so you're certainly not talking about he's aging out, but he's missed 27 of the Browns' last 32 games because of his issues. And if he misses another season, if they say, okay, you got another positive test while still under indefinite suspension or while being considered for reinstatement or whatever, however they word it, and he gets another year, now he's going to literally have sat for two calendar years and I don't know, it will do my 27 plus 16 more, you know, games where he's not part of this thing. Is it like riding a bike to go play wide receiver at a high level in the National Football League you never forget? Or is there going to be some part of him where he's not the same guy he was?
Well, I think right now he could come back and play because it's been only a year. Like after 2 years, a team would give him a shot, but he has serious questions how he'd react. I mean, it's different working out, and I know he's working out like crazy. That's one of the other things that doesn't make sense to me. You know, he posts these videos on Instagram, and you watch on social media, and you see him, and he's doing these crazy workouts, and he looks to be in great shape. So you see some desire to come back to play football, and then you see the unwillingness to do that through the fail test, through the living with Johnny. And it seems to me like Josh just can't figure out what he wants to do. So having said that, I think right now if he came back August 1st for training camp, he'd be fine. He'd be ready to go. If you give him another year, I think he wouldn't be a Pro Bowl caliber receiver, at least right away. You know, 26, not that that's ancient, but it's older than 24, 25. You know, 2 years away, I think you lose stuff. You're not playing football, and that's when you pull a hamstring. You pull a calf muscle. You do one of those injuries that then guys are never able to recover from. You know, we've seen that so many times. The guy sits back, looks like he's ready to go. You get a hamstring pulling in. You're just never able to get over that kind of injury. So I would be concerned if he doesn't play this year, if he would ever be able to recapture that brilliant form of 2013, which seems like it was a million years ago. It was only 3 years ago when he was the best receiver in the league and the best receiving season in Browns history.
Yep, single season, 1,600 plus yards. I don't remember the exact number, like 1,646 somehow jumps out
at me.
But what's that?
That's it.
Oh, that is it? Okay, there you go. You know, it's funny, some numbers just hit you, you know, especially when you don't have a whole lot of positive numbers in your franchise history to look at like that. Last thing, if he is, and again, my suspicion is, I mean, how can they possibly not suspend him for at least a minimum of another year based on all of this? I can't imagine them saying, here's a guy who just got another positive, using the it would almost be better for me if he'd have just had the positive marijuana, not the fact that I'm trying to cover it up and he's using the dilution, you know, fluid or substance or whatever it is. But here's a guy who did this again, and we're going to give him 30 to 60 days to clean himself up, or 60 to 90, and hey, no positive test, you can play. What message does that send everybody else in the National Football League who might be using weed on a semi-regular basis? That's part A. I can't imagine them letting him back in under those circumstances. So if he is indeed suspended for another year and the Browns cut ties with him, is there a reclamation project haven kind of place in the NFL where you could see him, you know, landing? Is there somebody who would say, I can work with that guy, I can make sure he's following it? Would it take maybe a Belichick or something like that to bring him in and say, you know, you're going to do things the Patriot way now, and we're going to make this work?
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with you that it doesn't make sense to me that the league would reinstate him following this latest test. And I know that, I think one of the gray areas is, you know, they've lowered the restrictions against marijuana, right? And that let Josh back from 16-game suspension in 2014 to 10 games. It's because they changed some of the drug policy rules to have a leniency toward marijuana, and Josh still can't follow them and still gets suspended and still fails tests. But I think that might be why they would even consider letting him back in. But it, let's say he's reinstated at some point down the line. I think Belichick is a place. You know, he's shown he's willing to accept guys who failed elsewhere for conduct issues.
LeGarrette
and
Blunt,
if they fail in New England, he has no problem getting rid of them right away. And they don't. And there's such a good culture there, good leaders, that one guy's not going to screw it up. I think Cincinnati's done that. We saw him take Pac-Man Jones, and he's had some success down in Cincinnati. We saw when Chad Ocho was down there. So, not that he was off the field trouble, but, you know, he's a big character and personality. And those are the two teams that jump out to me as would be able to handle him and are solid and stable enough organizations that Josh wouldn't create a problem. And the problem is, those are winning franchises that would take him and might bump him to the next level, like we saw Randy Moss do in New England in 2007. You know, and the problem is the Browns don't have any of that, so they're not there to get to the next level, but Josh could wind up somewhere else and make Browns fans regret the wasted years here.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know why, but that's what I kind of see happening, because it would just be so Brownsian, you know, to have that happen to them, you know, and they can't really control this. They just can't. Last thing, this is just more of an NFL thing, Scott. Weed is against the rules. You violate the rules multiple times like this, you get, I have no sympathy for him whatsoever. No sympathy nor empathy. So please understand when I say that. But what does it say about this league that Josh Gordon could be on the verge of missing his second consecutive season over some tokes hitting the bong now and again or whatever it is he does? And by the NFL's bizarre discipline policy, the likes of Greg Hardy, who was convicted in a court of law of domestic violence and beating and intimidating and threatening and choking a girl to some really, really, really high degrees and levels, was back playing after just a couple of weeks last week for the Dallas Cowboys and remains eligible right now. What something out of whack, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, weed, domestic violence. How do we do that?
Well, it does look bad, Bob, and I think the NFL is aware of that image problem, which is why they might be willing to bend the rules and let Josh back in sooner than they normally would. I really think they're aware of how their players feel, right? Josh isn't the only guy in the league smoking marijuana, right? And the other guys figure out a way to get around the testing, and they know when they're going to get tested as long as you're not in the program, and they can beat, quote unquote, beat the system. And I think the league is fine with that because that's a way players manage pain and all that stuff. But it's on the books. They're not going to take it off the books because I think they don't like how that looks. They know we're just going to have an open-door policy, kind of like the NBA seems to have. However, they can't figure out a way to solve the bigger domestic violence issues, the Ray Rices, the Greg Hardys. And, you know, the NFL is so big that everything they do gets overanalyzed and scrutinized. So it does look bad. And I think that that's why we could see Josh return. It's because they don't want that storyline to play to get magnified, that Greg Hardy's on the field, but poor Josh Gordon isn't. And until they can figure out a way to suspend guys longer for the domestic violence, which they're trying to do, it's always going to seem out of whack.
Yeah, and it is out of whack. And the irony about that, Scott, is Josh Gordon may be the beneficiary of that. Like you said, that maybe they won't give him a whole other year because they're afraid of that, the optics there and how that's going to look. When, to me, it should be the other way around. He should get what's coming to him. He should get that next year, and whatever happens in his career or his life is on him. They just need to kick Greg Hardy the hell out of the league altogether. Rather than lightening one so it matches the other or it doesn't look as bad on the other, I think they ought to just be drop the hammer on both of them, respectively, you know, and accordingly based upon their various crimes.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, Bob, and it's tough for me to argue with it. You know, I personally don't have a huge problem with, if a guy who happened to be smoking marijuana, I'm not sure that's cause for him to be banned from the league. But when you do it 10 times and have been told 10 times not to, then I can't blame anybody but the player.
Yeah, no, right? I don't think anybody would say, hey, your first drug test, you know, you're gone forever. No, don't get me wrong. Exactly. I'm not saying that either. I'm talking about a guy who just has basically proven that he's an addict. I mean, and I don't want to sit here and discuss or debate, although I probably will, and I've done it before, the issue of willpower versus disease concept. you know, is it really his fault if he's got a disease? Some will say it's a disease just like heart disease or this disease or that disease. You can't hold it against him. And, you know, for me, I'm going to come back with, hey, man, there's a $50 million contract waiting here. Have a little willpower. Stop smoking. You know, so over and over and over again, when you prove yourself incapable of following the rules, even if you don't agree with those rules, then to me there comes a point where, hey, you know what, it is an indefinite ban. And when we say indefinite, we mean definite. You're done.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's really hard. It's hard to argue in Josh's behalf anymore after every mistake he's made. It really is. Which, you know, another adding to the mind-boggling thing is when he failed the last test, he told us that he passed whatever. It was 50 out of 51 or something along those lines. Well, it looks like this is the same way. He passed. He had to pass a series of tests to even be considered for reinstatement. So to have one in March when he's perhaps days away from being reinstated, you just wonder how that could possibly happen.
Yeah, that's the part that's just mind-boggling. March. Because when was his year up? Was it in February?
Yeah, it's like at the Super Bowl. So he applied for reinstatement like January 20th.
Okay.
So they were supposed to rule early in March.
But they don't have to. That's when they
couldn't,
but they don't have to. They can take their time and evaluate situations and blah, blah, blah. And maybe that's why they didn't. You know,
I'm sure it is. I'm sure.
We're going to sit here and we're going to let this guy, you know, wait a little bit here, and we've got to consider his situation and see if he can stay clean. And the guy proved he couldn't 1 month later. 1 month later. Well, 2 months if you say he applied for reinstatement January 20th. So within a 2 month period, he was back to hitting the bong again. And that tells the league all it needs to know, I guess.
Yeah, you know, he might have thought he was in the clear, and he really wasn't, you know, which is mind-boggling because, again, he would have had to keep taking tests for another year. He would have remained in the drug testing program and had been tested numerous times. So,
well, wouldn't that be forever?
This doesn't make sense.
Wouldn't that be forever?
No,
not just for another year. Now you know this better than I do. I would assume somebody with his history, and once you've been hit with that year ban, and that's a ban, not a suspension. Suspensions have an end date. A ban is you have to apply permission to get back in. Once you hit that, I would imagine as long as you're back in the league, you're probably going to be in that, hey, we can drop by with a cup anytime and say fill it.
Well, actually, when they changed the rules in 2014 and they lessened the penalties against marijuana, they said that if the tests were positive for marijuana and you were in stage, I think it's stage five, whatever the worst stage is, then you had 2 years. And if you went 2 years without an issue, then you went back to nothing.
Okay.
He would have had to be, if he gets reinstated, he has to stay clean for 2 years, or the tests have to be clean for 2 years, and then he goes back to everybody else in the league.
Okay. I can live with that. They're saying if you prove for 2 years that you're on the straight and narrow now, we're not going to bother you all the time. I can certainly see that. Just a terrible situation, I should say, that the Browns find themselves in, that he finds himself in. And I get what you're saying about holding on to him to see what happens for a little while. But for me, I don't know. I'm a crime and punishment guy. I'm a crime and punishment guy when it comes to the, you know, to murders in the streets and rapes and all kinds of other terrible things. I want to see big, long sentences for deterrence factors, et cetera. So maybe that's coming out here. But for me, you know, you have proven that you do not want to be a part of the Cleveland Browns. If you did, you would have done everything in your power to make yourself available to the Cleveland Browns. So guess what? You're no longer with the Cleveland Browns. I'd get rid of them by the weekend, but that's just me.
Yeah. Scott, no, I mean, I see that side. I really do.
Scott Petrak. Scott, you're just a fountain of information, man. We always appreciate when you share some of that with us. We appreciate it, pal.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
You got it. There you go. Scott Petrak is awesome. Just an awesome guest. All right, how do you feel about Gordon? Should the Browns dump him right now? Should the Browns just get rid of him and say, that's it, another one? We can't plan with you going forward, so we're going to make our plans without you. See you later. Go enjoy however much weed you can buy with no money, because you're not going to be making NFL money anymore. What do you think? Should they dump him, or should they stick with him and give him another shot? And how do you feel about the NFL's drug policy? Because we know that there are some states that are starting to legalize medicinal marijuana and recreational marijuana. The NFL is saying it's still illegal in most states, and it's illegal in our league. How do you feel about it? 866-240-1065. By the way, go to our Twitter feed, which is Sports Radio 1065, if you want to see Justin Upton's 451-foot solo blast in the Tigers game that's going on right now. We tweeted it out there during the conversation with Scott Petrak. Go to the Twitter feed, Sports Radio 1065, and take a look at it. It was a shot. More coming up right after this on the...
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob Brent Friends Extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
Oh, yeah. Rolling on. Man, good song, by the way. Give me a little please. Crank that up a little bit. Sting is probably Big Ben Lahowski. Probably my favorite male vocalist, honestly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Honest to God. I mean, there's some great, great singers. Don't get me wrong. Some people, older generation, might say, are you kidding me? Frank Sinatra? And you like Sting? Or they might say Paul McCartney or whomever. I just love the dude's tones. It's just great. Just great.
Yeah, I've always loved that song myself.
Yeah, I love pretty much all the Police songs. It's just been a huge
right.
Fan. By the way, Big Ben just slid into the chair on the other side of the board there, producing the show for the rest of the day, because Jim Cushlin had to bail. Cushlin had to get out early because he's on his way to do something that, well, if you know Jim Cushlin, you really would agree that he should have no business doing whatsoever. And that is being in charge of kids in some way, shape, or form that are not his own. Now, you may know that during this past winter basketball season, we lost Cushlin from time to time because he had to leave the show early because he was learning to be a referee in youth basketball, youth and junior high, and obviously, I would imagine, with the hopes of, you know, going on to, you know, junior varsity and varsity basketball, right? Well, he's expanded that goal to now try to ruin kids' lives on the baseball diamond as well. He's umpiring today. It's his second game he's ever done, and they gave him the dish. Jim Cushlin is going to be calling balls and strikes and pissing 12-year-old pitchers off like nobody could even imagine, or hitters, or probably both with his inconsistency. Behind the dish today. I'm not supposed to say where he's calling the balls and strikes, so I guess I won't. I'm going to honor that. But Jim Cushlin, my God in heaven. The worst thing about that, Ben, you know, for Cush, is you're not allowed to smoke at the ball yard.
Oh, right.
Because it's a kid's facility. It's
sure.
A family-friendly venue. So do you know how long this baseball game is going to be take to be played?
Yep.
When he goes to his car to smoke during in between innings? He's going to go out. Cushlin can't stop. He's going to be in his car. He's going to be trying to wedge himself in there with his shin guards on and his chest protector on. Get me on the wheelchair so he can sit there where it's legal to, first of all, just to burn his lungs out because that's what he does. But second of all, because of his stress, because of a blown call.
Yep.
Because of, you know, the manager's going ballistic on him, every ball and every strike. It's going to take somebody else going to the car to knock on the window. Hey, ump, we're blue, let's go, we're back. It doesn't matter
right.
How far away. Cushlin calling balls and strikes today at a Little League baseball game, or I don't even know what league it is. We'll have to catch up with him and find that out. But he's on his way to ruin kids forever. So Big Ben is in the chair. All right, we're talking about Josh Gordon on the phones, and I want to get you online, too. Look, we're really starting to try to make a Twitter and Facebook presence. It's not something we've put a ton of time into in the past, but it's something we're trying to do. We want to get a big digital and on-air kind of symbiosis going together so we can talk to one another and you have more places to be seen and heard, excuse me, on so many issues that we're talking about. So if you don't get on the air at 866-240-1065, you can be heard by tweeting to us at Sports Radio 106.5 and Facebooking at 106.5 The Ticket. Okay, we want to get you on the radio one way or the other with your thoughts. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. We're going to try to use those handles as much as possible. I'm going to tell you something else too. I put a tweet up on my own personal Twitter feed, like yesterday or Sunday or something, just to tell people if you're looking for me to follow me on Twitter because you want to hear my my blistering hot sports takes like you get each and every day on the Extravaganza, don't follow me on Twitter, okay? Truthfully. I've got another Twitter account that I use almost solely for politics and news and that sort of thing for other stuff that I'm involved in. And people who want to go and say, hey, Bob, what do you think of Cardale Jones' comments about the NCAA? And then they're going to go on there and read about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and gun rights and Islam and ISIS and all this other nonsense. They're going to say, what the heck is this? So, look, don't follow me on Twitter. If you are interested in my sports thoughts, I will continue and grow my tweeting from, and I'll sign every tweet that I write, by the way, with a BF. All right, just so you know, it's my initials, at Sports Radio 106.5. So I'm going to continue to tweet from the radio station's Twitter feed and their Facebook page. So if you want to be heard and you want to follow and you want to correspond with what we're doing on the air, bang, there it is. All right, so just so you know. JT in Toledo is up next right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, talking about Josh Gordon, who just continues to flush his toilet down the shaft of a bong. Flush his career, I should say. What did I say, flush his toilet? Flush his career down the shaft of a bong. And JT, you're on the air. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Bob? Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
My pleasure.
That was kind of funny. But anyway, I want to say that I think, you know, I think he's basically kind of like, you know, kind of like basically kind of put himself in a hole. And I don't think the Browns should do anything. I think he basically is going to hang himself. And I believe that the league is doing the right thing by, you know, letting this thing play out, because I think the Browns' main problem, I have friends that are Browns fans, and, you know, I'm not a Browns fan, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, but it's not too much different seeing the way Jones is, you know, sticking with Romo the way he does. But anyway, to make a long story short, I think that what the Browns should do, because I think wide receivers are a dime a dozen, I think they need to, the reason I think he's still there, they're hanging on to him because they never got anybody to replace him. Never got anybody to kind of like make him look over his shoulders and say, look, we got somebody. We already have a deep threat. I think once they do that in this draft, if they get somebody that they feel like they could, you know, that could be their potential deep threat, then I think like, you know, everything will be like the line will be drawn in the sand like, look, you know, we don't care what you do. And I think it'll just, you know, the writing will be on the wall. So that's what my comment.
JT, I think it's an interesting point you make, but I don't know if I totally agree. His talent is so immense and so great that even if you had a quote-unquote replacement, it probably isn't going to be somebody as good as him. If you did have a great game-breaking type of receiver, you know, and you found out he was getting clean and you really believed he was going to make a comeback, you'd want him, even if you had a great receiver.
You might want two of them, right? I mean, you might, but how long will it take him? I mean, you figure the season beating started already. I mean, how long is it going to take this guy? I mean, how can you trust him? You know, you're going to have to look at somebody else to get the other person. I feel like there's a lot of good players out there that has great upside. You know, that really wants to play. That really wants to. I'm not talking about a guy that all the media is looking at. I mean, look at this guy that plays for Pittsburgh. When they got him, was he like a standout where all the pundits just knew that he was going to be great?
Antonio Brown?
Yes. You know, I mean,
he was like a fourth round draft pick out of Central Michigan.
There you go. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, in the Steelers, I know the Browns fan hate them, but that organization has been known for picking people that nobody else talks about. But once they give them the opportunity, they prove themselves. I think you got to have a combination of that and not let Josh Gordon feel like you just need him. He's your ultimate savior. The same thing with Manziel. Manziel was doing that because he figured, well, who else you got? You know, nobody look over his shoulders. He was a privileged kid. He's always going to be a privileged kid. And to the Browns, that's why I believe in this coach that they have now. I think the Browns have finally, and he's going to have a chance to prove himself. But that's my take on that. I don't see no other way. Because you can't, can you put 100% trust in Gordon?
No, of course not. You can, and that's the reason I said after his last bust, before this one, because you can't put trust in him, because you can't put, forget about 100%, that you can't trust him at all.
At all.
You can't plan with him. You can't make plans for him because he's just going to let you down, and you're going to end up saying, damn, we built our offense around this guy. This guy's not here anymore, and therefore, we got to start all over again and figure out what to do. We can't replace him. He was a
I know there's receivers out there that you could get in the later rounds. Won't even cost you a lot. You have guys out there that comes from impoverished families. This is like their one shot. They want to prove themselves. If you can find them, and I'm quite sure you do your homework, And these guys are just as big, just as strong, just as fast as him, and they want to give it all they have. And you'll find out.
But it's about identifying them, you know? It's about identifying them, and it's really hard to do. For example, two drafts ago, who did everybody say was going to be the star receiver coming out of that draft 2 years ago? Do you remember? Because the Browns talk, I know you're a Cowboys guy, so maybe you didn't follow it as closely.
Well, you know, I followed it. Well, I remember the last time I remember they messed with Drive when they could have gotten, they could have got Green, the one who's with the Bengals.
Well, that was another one, but that was a few. That was about 4 or 5 ago. We're talking about 2 years ago, Sammy Watkins from Clemson was the guy.
Yeah, because my partner wanted him. Yeah, he was pissed when they didn't pick him.
Yeah. And you know who went after him was Odell Beckham Jr. And guess who is turning out to be the better of the two pros? Now, not that Sammy is bad, but he's having an okay career thus far in 2 years with Buffalo. But Odell is becoming a superstar. So the point of bringing that up is you got to be able to identify the guy that you know is going to be a can't miss go to superstar before you cut ties with a guy like Josh Gordon. If your belief is you have to replace him first,
right? Well, you agree with me. I'm not saying cut ties with him. I'm saying those guys look at ESPN. They watch the news. When he see that you're picking a wide receiver, they play the same position, and this guy has upside. Well, say he's 6'4", or you know, like a build like a T.O. type, and he's got good hands. When he hear about that, he'll know. He'll be like, yeah, you know, that gives him a reason to like. I either got to straighten up because, you know, he'll know those guys, they know other players. They know other players that's coming out of college. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying cut ties with him, but let him know that you are out there for a replacement.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think he knows that. I don't think he has any illusions that the Browns are just sitting back not looking at receivers because they expect him to finally figure it out. I don't think he's under any illusions there. I just don't think he can, and I don't think it's ever going to change for him if it hasn't done so yet. I don't think there's any illusion there for him.
I agree with what Chris Carter said about him. Chris Carter went through the same thing. Chris Carter said they should have dumped him long ago.
Yeah, and you know what, Chris Carter, these are the guys you got to talk to. Forget about people like me and you, and I'm assuming you've never had any kind of these kind of problems. You sound like a really intelligent, successful guy. You and me and guys who haven't had addiction issues or whatever, maybe it's easy for us to sit here and judge and throw stones.
Right.
But Carter and other guys who have been down that road, when they tell you what they see and the signs that they see and say this cat is headed for a very, very big fall, one that is going to take some other people with him, they need to cut ties right now, you better listen to those guys.
He recovered. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but it took that come to Jesus thing for him to get there. That's what he's saying. Until somebody treats Gordon that way, it's not going to happen for him. Well, hey, my friend, I got to run, JT. Great call, my friend.
All right, bye.
You got it, pal. Thank you. But I'm up against top of the hour here. Listen, I got no more guests the rest of the show. This is all me and you. We're going to talk together. The Gordon story. I am going to hit the Cardale Jones story, too. His Twitter rants about the NCAA's unfair statements. You want to get into that? We'll get you Tigers update too, here at the top of the hour. Indians are in Tampa tonight. We'll get into that. The Sports Center will have that covered, too. And another twist in the Will Smith murder. Another twist. You probably heard about it earlier today. We'll try to talk about that a little bit if we can, too. Maybe it was neither of the above, none of the above from what we talked about yesterday. We'll get into that. And I got a few more surprises for you, too. We'll try to cram it all into the next hour of the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.